The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you had a great weekend. We awakened today to the news that the hostages have been released, and my mind immediately went to Psalm 126. Here's what the scripture says. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, O Yahweh, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And so we rejoice for the 20 hostages who have been released. They've been in captivity for over 2 years. October 7th was the 2023 was the significant date there when Hamas brutally and savagely attacked Israel and attacked innocent people, killed over 1,200 people, took 251 hostages. 46 hostages were still there in Gaza, and 20 were released. The other 26 had died there in captivity. But now all the hostages are back, and so Israel is rejoicing, and they are so grateful and so thankful for Donald Trump and for all that Donald Trump did to secure a ceasefire and bring the hostages home. Now, if you look and see what Israel had to give up to get those hostages, 1,700 to 2,000 Palestinians were released. They were incarcerated there in Israel because of crimes that they had committed. And, you know, it wasn't just willy-nilly. They arrested these people. They were involved in some things that were unsavory, to say the least. They released all those back to Hamas and Gaza, and they got their 20 innocent people that are still alive. They got them back. And so doesn't seem very equitable there, but that's what they did to secure these the freedoms of these 20. And so we do rejoice, and Israel is so grateful for Donald Trump. I saw this tweet from Piers Morgan, and he said, showed a picture of him and Donald Trump, and he said, "My friend President Donald Trump takes a lot of flack, some of it deserved, some not, but securing the release of all the remaining Israeli hostages and ending the war in Gaza is his finest and most historic achievement. Very proud of you, Mr. President. Congratulations." Now, that should be the attitude of everyone. You know, if you don't have Trump derangement syndrome, you can point out things that he does well and say, "Hey, that was good. I don't like a lot of things he does, but he did that. That was good." People with TDS can't praise Trump on anything. You remember at this first State of the Union address, he said to the Democrats and pointed it out. He said, "These people will not clap for anything that I say. We honor this young boy who's fighting a terrible, horrible disease, and we make him an honorary part of the Secret Service, whatever branch they made him a part of. Everybody got up and cheered except the Democrats. They won't cheer for anything that Trump says or does, even when it's a good thing. And so we marvel at that. How can you be so consumed with hate? This idea that, you know, we're just going to oppose Trump at every turn, that doesn't work very well because you don't have a plan. And when you, you know, you ask AI, what is the plan for the Democrats? What are they proposing? There's not much that comes back. They don't have a plan other than we hate Trump, we're against Trump, anything Trump does, we're against it. And that doesn't, after a while, that doesn't play well. And people are like, okay, well, that doesn't help me much. And that doesn't help our country, just churning in bitterness and resentment and hatred. So we do praise the Lord for the release of the captives. Now, some are saying that this fits in with end times and President Trump is the Antichrist. I had a friend of mine who is eaten up with TDS tell me early on, before Trump was even inaugurated, he had just won the election, he said, I really believe that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. Well, you know, to me, it's like, how deluded can you be? The Antichrist is going to be a whole lot more like, I'm not saying this is the Antichrist, this person's name, but he's going to be a whole lot more like Barack Obama. Just come out of nowhere and be this guy, this slick and slippery guy, and says the things that people are like, oh, that's what we long to hear. Trump is not like that at all. Trump is about as subtle as a sledgehammer. And you have to understand the timeline of the end times. See, if you just discount the book of the Revelation and say, well, Revelation 20 talking about the millennial kingdom, the reign of Christ, that's all just symbolic. There is no reign of Christ. There is no millennial kingdom. Then the book of the Revelation doesn't make any sense. I heard John MacArthur, who calls himself he sees everything perfectly now in heaven, but he called himself a leaky dispensationalist. But he believes that when the Lord came to Israel, they rejected him by and large. You know, the church began as a Jewish church. It began in Jerusalem. 3,000 were saved that day. There were 3,000 Jews. All the apostles were Jews. But it went into the Gentile regions, and then the Jews, by and large, rejected Christianity. And so the Lord is working through the church. But we believe that there's going to be a rapture of the church one day. And when the Lord takes the church made up of Jews and Gentiles, but primarily Gentiles, you think about the Jewish people you know, how many of those are believers in Jesus? Not very many. But the church now, mostly Gentiles with a few Jews in there, we're going to be raptured up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, John chapter 14, where Jesus said he takes us to the Father's house. 1 Corinthians 15, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the last trumpet for the church. He takes us out. You read in Revelation the timeline. And John MacArthur said this, listen, Revelation can be a difficult book when you start trying to figure out what the symbolism is indicating. But as far as the timeline in Revelation, it's not a difficult book. So what do you have? John is on the island of Patmos, Revelation chapter 1. He sees the resurrected Christ. He falls at his feet as a dead man. And Jesus tells him to not be afraid. And he says to him, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches in Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And he said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. And so he's to write down what he sees. And he says to him again, therefore write the things which you have seen and the things which are currently, and the things which will take place after these things. So he writes, and the seven letters to the seven churches. It starts in Revelation chapter 2. It ends in Revelation chapter 3. It starts with the church in Ephesus, and it travels the mail route, and it gets to Laodicea, the seventh church. And then in chapter 4, what happens? Well, chapter 4, we read that the Lord takes the church up into heaven. John says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet, the last trump, speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing open in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. The Lord catches up John, and he was a picture, a representation, in my mind anyway, of the church. And what does he hear? He hears the sound of a voice like the sound of a trumpet, and he's called up, and he's caught up into heaven, and the church is in heaven in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. After Revelation 3, we don't read about the church anymore. Seems like if the church were going to go through the Great Tribulation, we'd be reading a lot about the church during the chapters that talk about the tribulation period, but we don't. Because the church is caught up into heaven. And Revelation 6, that begins the tribulation period. And there are seven seals on a scroll that the Lord breaks. He says, then I saw, Revelation 6, 1, then I saw the Lamb. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. That is the beginning of the reign of Antichrist. And when does that come? That comes after the rapture of the church. Donald Trump cannot be the Antichrist. He can't be deceiving all of us, because you're not going to know who the Antichrist is until after the rapture of the church. And the Antichrist is going to sign a peace treaty with Israel and her enemies. And there will seemingly be peace on the earth. And what happens during that first half of the tribulation period, that seven-year period? Well, the first half, Israel rebuilds the temple and sacrifices begin again. And the Bible makes it clear at the middle point, at the middle of those 7 years, at the 3.5 year mark, that the Antichrist shows his true colors. He's going to be assassinated, or it looks like it's an assassination. His fatal wound is going to be healed. It's going to look like the Antichrist was killed, like a JFK thing, shot in the head. No way can you survive that. But he's going to come back to life. And as some kind of pseudo-resurrection. The Antichrist is a copycat. The devil is a copycat. He sees what God does, and then he copies that in his twisted, perverted, evil way. And so there's going to be a resurrection of sorts, and that's when the Antichrist comes into the temple of God. He declares himself as being God. He shuts down all sacrifices and says, worship me, I am God. And then the Jews come to their senses, this guy is not our Messiah. This guy is the Antichrist, and the persecution begins at a rate we've never seen before. So what happens then during that last 3.5 years? It's amazing that anybody lives, because all the plagues are coming from God, and the Antichrist is trying to destroy all those who won't knuckle under and worship him. It finally culminates, Revelation 19, at the Battle of Armageddon, where the Lord defeats his enemies. Jesus comes back with his church, with his bride, sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, and does battle with the Antichrist with the sharp sword that comes out of his mouth. He defeats his enemies and sets up his kingdom. Revelation 20 is the kingdom of the Lord, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And Revelation, at the end of Revelation 20, the Lord releases the Antichrist, or the devil, who is bound for those 1,000 years. He releases him. There's one last big rebellion, and then it is over. Fire comes down from heaven and consumes them all. There is the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, 11 through 15, and then the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, the eternal state in heaven forever with God. And that's the timeline of the book of the Revelation. Trump cannot be the Antichrist because the rapture hasn't come, and that has to precede all the revealing of the Antichrist. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are up against a break, but we'll be right back with more. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're rejoicing over the Gaza ceasefire, and we are thankful for President Trump and all that he did to secure the hostage release and this ceasefire. Now, I believe this is temporary. People can rejoice, and I think we should rejoice, but just know that Israel is surrounded by people who hate them and people who want to see them dead and wiped out from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. That's what the river to the sea means. And so how long is peace going to last? Hamas is a cancer. And Hezbollah, Hamas, and all these, the Houthis, all these radical groups, radical Islamic groups, they exist to destroy Israel. Then they call Israel Satan, and the little Satan, and America's the great Satan. And so you can only have a temporary peace with them, just like, you can't have peace with cancer in your body. You have to eradicate the cancer. Otherwise, it will, it might remain dormant for a while, but then it's going to build up and come back. And so we know that that's going to take place. We know that reading the book of the Revelation, as I outlined it in the first segment, we know that there is going to be a time when Antichrist is coming to destroy Israel from the river to the sea and wipe Jerusalem out, the capital city, and that's when the Lord comes back. The Lord has made promises to Israel as a nation, as a geopolitical entity, and he will fulfill those promises, and the devil cannot destroy what God has said, I am going to bring about. No purpose, as Job said, God, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Well, we have some clips that I wanted to play, and I'm looking at the ones that that matter the most. And so I saw this one. This was on Steven Crowder. The difference between Christians and Islamic extremists. Some try and say, well, it's just you just have extremists on either side. They're both bad. It's the two sides issue. Oh, you guys are all up in arms about violence on the left, but the stats show that there's more violence on the right. That's just not true. The stats may say that, but the stats have been corrupted. Just as we found out in D.C., they were not being honest in how they reported things because they wanted it to look like the crime was lessened. Who cares? If you lie about the stats, then don't use the stats. We all have eyes and we have ears and we can see what's going on. Well, this was Steven Crowder talking about the difference.
When people say, hey, you look at these extremist Christians, well, hold on a second. If a Christian opens fire on a bunch of innocent civilians, it's pretty easy to see the daylight between that and what not only Jesus preached, but how Jesus lived.
Yeah.
For example, let me give you, and I've talked about this quite a bit. If someone commits murder, right, mass murder, and they say, I'm doing it because I'm a white Christian fundamentalist, which almost pretty much never happens. But if they do it, yeah. You go, okay, hold on a second. Did Jesus preach that? No. Okay. Did Jesus kill anybody? No. Did he mass murder anybody? No. Did he call for the death of no. All right. If you have an Islamic terrorist saying we're going to oppress women, okay. Did Muhammad? Yes. If they say we're actually going to kill people who are apostates or Jews, did Muhammad do that? Yes, he did. Killing Christians and Jews? He did it. Did he call for it? Yes. You can say that maybe some interpretations are murky. You cannot argue that he didn't do those things himself.
Right.
Maybe you can say it was at a time of war. It wasn't. That's a huge difference, too. Early Christianity, and think about this for a second, and you've talked about it in your apologetics. Early Christianity spread even though people were being executed, right? Martyrs.
Yeah.
Spread by word of mouth. Okay? Islam, with no real known oppressors, because it wasn't a religion that people were super concerned about at that point in time, was spread by the sword. So, you were facing martyrdom, you spoke. No one really knew what you were doing, no one really knew who you were following, you killed. That's the spread of these two religions, and that's why you see two very different results. Does that make sense?
I would say yes, that makes perfect sense. Islam has always been smash mouth religion. It's believe or die. And as he said so insightfully, how did Muhammad, how did he get Islam to spread? It's Islam means submission, and it's the religion of the sword, and believe or die. And when people are faced, when you don't have a strong base that says, I recognize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I've surrendered my heart and life to him. If you don't have that, when someone threatens your life, I'm going to cut off your head. If you don't say there is only one God, his name is Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, well, you will do that, because you're going to want to save your skin. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'll give you one more chance to bow down. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And what God is there who can deliver you from my hand? Well, it takes a person with genuine faith to say, I'm not going to bow. And even if I have to die, I'm willing to die. Why? Because I know that God is real, that God is true, that I am obeying God. I know, and putting it in New Testament terms, I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know that there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And I'm willing to die for that. And so I'm not going to knuckle under. I don't care how much pressure you put me in. I'm not going to deny Christ. And so that's what we're seeing around the world in Nigeria with these Christians being killed. Well, they've been given the opportunity to renounce Christianity and turn to Muhammad and turn to Islam. They say no, and they pay for it with their lives. And so very, very different. Now, I ran across, I thought this was really cool, and kind of fits in with Islam because, you know, Islam is one way that the devil is trying to destroy everything that is good and honorable and right and true and just. He does it through Islam. Islam is false religion. Islam has the devil's fingerprints all over it. There is one true way. And what does the devil do? Acts 13, he never ceases to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And so the devil is at work through Islam, 1.8 billion adherents. But he's also at work through communism and through socialism, and through what's going on with the left and with progressives. And people are too blind to see what is taking place. Now, the Bible makes this clear. If our gospel is veiled, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, that's the devil, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What do you do when you pray for unbelieving family members and unbelieving friends and unbelieving workmates and classmates and associates and people you rub shoulders with? Pray for God to open their eyes to the truth, because they're blinded right now. They're deceived. They cannot see. And so, you know, you can't really blame a blind man if he can't see the sunshine. He's blind. But you can pray, Lord, open his eyes, open her eyes, help them to see. So this is Fabian Garcia explaining how the left works, how progressivism, socialism, communism works, how it's worked in history, and how it works today.
But to go back to your point about leftist violence, you have to understand this is not something new. This is not something that's randomly happening. It happened in China, it happened in Vietnam, it happened in Cuba, which I'm Cuban. So every single time the leftists take over, what do they want? Revolution. To what? Break down the status quo. How do they do that? Not through peace. They do it through revolution. Che Guevara, Fidel Castro, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, Stalin. Every single time, that's how they do it. And you know who they use? All of you. They use the university students. They use leftists. The authoritarians, the strongmen, convince the leftists to fight for them. It happened in Iran where the Ayatollah took over. It happened in Cuba with Castro. They get the leftists to disrupt and cause destabilization. Once they take power, they get rid of all of the leftists that help them get in power. Mao Zedong created the Red Guard. When he got in power, he said, all universities canceled. I want you to get my book. It's called The Little Red Book. Put it in your pocket and go around. And if any teacher has spoken out against me, I want you to tell the communist commissar we're going to arrest him and kill them. They did that. The army didn't step in. They allowed the protesters and the revolutionaries to do what they want. You know what Mao did after he got power? He said, I don't need any more destabilization. He sent them out into the field to work, and 9 million of them died. That's what he's done. The Shah did it, the same thing to the leftists. The leftists are always, we call them the useful idiots. Not all of them, but the ones who are revolutionary. They are used to destabilize. They go after the young people in universities every single time, hundreds and hundreds of years. This is the same thing happening over again. This is not new. What you're experiencing is not new. It's just new to you. It's new to our age.
I thought that was very well explained. That shows what's going on our college campuses here in America. Donald Trump sees that. He's trying to bring an end to those things. And but what are the people doing? The useful idiots, the students that don't know beans from potatoes. They're just, we're on this bandwagon. Somebody had posted, they're free Palestine. Well, Trump did that, but Trump did it. So they hate Trump. So they can't be rejoicing over what Trump did, bringing about a ceasefire in Gaza. That's what they've been wanting. But since Trump did it, they hate it, because anything Trump does, they hate. Now, I thought this was very interesting. Scott Jennings, the CNN, one of the lone conservatives on CNN, he really nailed it when he said, hey, here's why the Democrats don't have much support with the American people, is because we don't trust them. They have proven themselves to be lunatics when it comes to this transgender issue, when it comes to issues related to biological men playing in female sports, biological men using women's restrooms, women's locker rooms. I mean, that's for most people in America. I think it's at least an 80-20 issue, maybe a 90-10 issue. Well, they're all in on the minority side. And so then that bleeds over into people trusting them on other issues. This is what Scott Jennings had to say.
If I can't trust you not to put a boy in a teenage girl's locker room, how will I ever listen to your plan for taxes and the economy?
Right.
I will not, because I've already concluded you're a lunatic.
Yeah. People probably don't like that. There are probably some people listening right now, and they're like, oh, I don't like that he said that, and we're not lunatics. But listen, it's lunacy to believe that a biological male can become a female. You can't. Your sex is immutable. It cannot be changed. Every cell in your body is either XY male or XX female. Not to beat a dead horse, but it seems like we have to go back to this issue time and time and time again. If you talk to AI, AI is so left-leaning. That's what I've found. On issues related to morality, AI is going to be left-leaning, and AI will talk about, there was some Yale University study or something like that. I was in a back and forth with AI just yesterday. And, you know, they said, well, based on this Yale study, blah, 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 whatever it was. And I said, well, wait a minute. Is this the Yale group that says that men can become women and women can become men? And I said, how do they follow the science? Because the science doesn't teach that. So, oh, well, it's very nuanced. You know, they always go back to the nuance. That's a very complicated thing. It's not complicated. It's not complicated at all. It's basic science. Biology says you're XX or XY, and that's stamped on every cell of your body. And no matter what you do to carve up the outside of the body, it doesn't change your skeletal structure. It doesn't change your cells. And I said one time in a sermon, hey, you want to go from a man to a woman? Well, you need to get a full cell transplant. Do you know anybody that does that? No, because that's impossible. The Lord made you either male or female. And as I've said repeatedly on the program, Real Truth for Today, that the sooner people yield to that basic truth, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of everything. Understanding God is God and you're not God. And you yield to God in how he has made you. And you don't fight him on the very, very basic truth and reality that you were born male or you were born female. You want to have a horrible life? Fight him on that. You can do that until the day you die, and then you're going to spend forever in hell. Why would you do that? That's just stupid. That's like saying, I'm going to take my car and drive as fast as I can off a cliff. Well, you can do that if you want. The end result will be destruction and death. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are rejoicing that the hostages have been released, and to see the joy on the faces of the family members is just priceless. And so we praise God for all that President Trump has done to secure that. As Benjamin Netanyahu said, President Trump is the greatest supporter of Israel that the America's ever seen as president. And so we thank God for that. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. And I do want to say just a quick shout out to the Texas Longhorns for winning the Red River Rivalry, beating OU 23-6. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are opening the phone lines, as we often do in this last segment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've been talking about the release of the hostages and Donald Trump's work on getting Israel and Hamas into a ceasefire. And so we're thankful for that. We know that is temporary as Christians because we know the end of the story, but we're thankful that it is happening right now. And how long that will last, we don't know. We know lots of people want to go back to Israel. I've led three groups to Israel over the years. I'd love to lead another group to Israel. It's hard to get people to want to go there when it's so unstable. But we hope that this will be a peace that lasts for some time. I do remember what Dennis Prager said. This is so true. He said, you know the difference between Israel and the surrounding Muslim nations. This is the truth. If all those nations that surround Israel said, we're tired of the fighting, we're going to lay down our weapons, we're not going to fight Israel anymore, he said there would be lasting peace in the Middle East. But if Israel laid down its weapons and said, we're not fighting anymore, we don't care what happens, we're just sick of the fighting, we're not going to fight, they would be attacked within a few short hours, because Islam exists to destroy Israel. Now, that doesn't mean every Muslim wants to kill Israel, but Islam, as was pointed out earlier in the program, Islam is, it is smash mouth religion, and in its crosshairs are Jews and Christians. Israel is the little Satan. America is the great Satan. And that's what it wants to do. And listen, there is no assurance of heaven in Islam unless you die in jihad. And that's what gets people radicalized and willing to sign up and kill themselves if need be a terrorist, kill themselves if need be to advance the cause. And the unwritten motto of Hamas there in Gaza, we love death as much as you love life. Well, the devil is a death dealer. He comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And the fingerprints of Satan are all over that religion. And people that are caught up in that, as I've said before, they're not our enemies. They're the mission field. We need to pray that God would open their eyes to the truth. And as we pray, and as we shine and share, the Lord uses us as a witness to them. Well, 888-589-8840 is the phone number, and we have Roy on the line from New Hampshire. Roy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good to talk to you. it's a two-edged sword with the radical Islamists. One, you hear about the testimonies of those that are having encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ in visions and dreams, and that's a good thing. And that's something that we as believers should be going in to disciple. But on the other hand, you see how Sharia law wants to take over America. Particularly, I was really shocked with what was going on in Texas and how Sharia law and these Islamic compounds they want to build, and what's going on in Houston and then in Dearborn. And if we as Christians and believers don't wake up and ring the alarm bell louder, the same thing that's happening in London will happen here in America.
Yeah. You're exactly right, Roy. That's not a, you know, it's George Bush that said after 9/11, you know, Islam is a peaceful religion. It's like, who told you that? That's just not true. It's not true in their history. It's just a total lie. But they just want to kind of couch it as, oh, it's just a few radicals over here. Well, when you have 1.8 billion adherents to Islam and you have 10% that are considered radical fundamentalists, that's 180 million people. That's a lot of people. And, you know, those that agree that if you have a child that leaves the Islamic faith, that it's permissible to kill them in an honor killing, when you have high percentages, over 50% of Muslims agree with that is the right response. This is not a peaceful religion. This is nothing like Christianity. And to try and say it's like other religions, it's not. Bill Maher, the big liberal, he gets that. It's not like other religions. And it is something that is very, very destructive. We need to keep it out of America and don't let it build up. And don't, if Islam is so great, then they need to go live in an Islamic country. That's my view on it. But America is not founded on Islamic principles. It's not founded on Sharia law. We don't want Sharia law in America that does not promote freedom, that takes freedom away. And so our country was founded on freedom. So I appreciate you sounding the alarm, Roy. I'm with you 100%, brother. So God bless you for calling in. Well, we have Kes on the line from Texas. Kes, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. Thanks for the opportunity to make it. Comment or to make it possible to ask a question. My question is this. What do you say to some Christians that have this sympathy for the Palestine nation? They are so sympathetic to the Palestine nation to the extent that they say the land belongs to the Palestine and not to Israel, in fact, I have friends like that, friends, some of them so-called Christians, some of them so-called pastors, and even of recent I hear Candace Owens so sympathetic to the cause of the Palestine. Meanwhile, it's very clear from scriptures that the nation that associates with Israel is blessed, and Christians, we have to pray for Israel and all that.
Good point. And so the way I think that people get into that trap because of how they view end times. They don't see Israel as being important in God's prophetic plan. Israel is important in God's prophetic plan. God is not done with Israel. Romans 11 makes that clear. God is not done with Israel. And when you read in Revelation, where does the battle of Armageddon take place? It takes place there in the land of Israel. And what is the Antichrist doing? He's coming against Israel to wipe it out, finally wipe it out from the river to the sea, as we hear. And the Lord comes and defends his people because he has made promises to Israel, and he will make sure that his promises do not fail. As I read yesterday in 1 Samuel chapter 12, he was pleased to make Israel his people. And so when you don't see any use for Israel, then you start talking about this, this two-state solution, and Israel give up this land, and they've given up land on the West Bank, and all these things. It's just wrong. But that's the reality of the day. And people that don't understand how God has set up the end times. This is not true for every single one of them, but for many of them, they don't see the importance of Israel. They don't see the importance of I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, even those who I call friends that don't see that, and they don't understand why America is such a great friend to Israel. We need to continue to be a great friend to Israel, because as it says in Genesis 12, God's covenant with Abraham, who is going to be the father of a nation. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So I appreciate the comment, my friend. Thanks for calling in. We have Daryl on the line from Texas. Daryl, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, brother. Yeah, I was just going to say, since I learned and studied proper application of types, I've noticed, I watch for patterns throughout the Bible, and I noticed how the Marxists and the Muslims are now coming together as a common nemesis. They're Christians in the same way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees focused on destroying Jesus. I noticed, there's roots of the Sadducees that go back to the Hellenism, and that we now have with modern liberalism, and there's roots of the Muhammad was influenced by the Jewish influence in the Saudi Arabian desert, that tie back all the way back. It's just interesting. I just thought you may find that interesting too, to see the patterns that we see in proper application, of course.
Yeah, but, for sure.
But, you know, and also the fact that we are facing a lot of the same issues that they face there. But you're so right about eschatology. There's trying to be a wedge put in the conservative movement with Israel. That's the wedge they're trying to break us up with to a great extent, I see. And I think there's a great danger in that.
Yeah, that's a good point, Daryl. So, you know, the devil is, he never stops working. I've said this many, many times. The movie The Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, when that came out, you know, Reese was telling Sarah Connor, says, you don't understand, this thing does not, you can't negotiate with him. He doesn't feel pity, and he will not stop until you're dead. Well, that the devil is the original Terminator, and the devil will just keep going and going and going. He exists for one purpose, to he hates God, and so he can't get at God directly, so he gets the people of God. He tries to destroy and make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And he, just because you know, somebody comes to Christ, the devil doesn't stop. The devil then, if he can't take you to hell and deceive you to the point that you reject Christ, you come to Christ, well, he doesn't stop and say, okay, well, I lost that one. Then he's going to try and steal and destroy everything God wants to do in your life, and steal your peace and steal your joy and steal your witness and silence you as a force for the kingdom. And so we have to be vigilant all the time, and we put on the full armor of God, and we just know the devil is out there. We don't fear him. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world, 1 John 4:4. But we recognize that he's there, and he is at work in the world. And everything is culminating in this one world government and in this battle of Armageddon that will take place in the future, Revelation chapter 19. So God bless you, brother. Well, we have Andrew on the line from Kentucky. Andrew, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I got a real privilege last week. I was trading vehicles, and the dealer was, he said he was a Palestinian American. His grandparents live about a quarter mile from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And I was talking to him about the gospel and about Jesus, and he said in his opinion that the Jews were the ones who nailed Jesus to the cross. They were the ones that killed Jesus. And I don't believe in replacement theology, so I told him, I said, well, in my opinion, I said it was my sin that put him on the cross. And I got to share how that we all needed to be saved, and it didn't matter what nationality, and it was just a real blessing. I just wanted to share that. So there is still hope, and I still pray for, you know, the Palestinians, the Gazans, all the different nations that serve Islam and these things. There is still hope for them. They can still be saved.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we had, I mentioned Kenza Haddock. We've had her on the radio program twice. She came to First Baptist Texarkana. She was a Muslim who came to Christ. And, you know, her testimony is powerful. And she had to flee from her family for fear of being killed by her family. Because of the, she said, hey, you know, it affects their eternity. If they have a child that defects from Islam, then that puts their eternity at risk. That is the fuel for the fire for parents to want to kill their kids because they're trying to secure their own eternity. It is so twisted and perverted. And that's why I said it's got the devil's fingerprints all over it. And, you know, we need to be praying that the veil would be lifted, that blind eyes would be opened to the fact that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Andrew, thank you for sharing that, and we need to look for opportunities. God, use me as a witness. These three things, let me close with this. Pray these three things every day. God, use me as a witness today. Give me somebody to talk to about you, and help me to know when that opportunity arises. And number three, Lord, help me not to chicken out when that opportunity arises. Help me to be bold. Help me to start that conversation, to let that person know that there is a God in heaven who sent his son to die on the cross for our sins and to rise again from the dead. And he offers eternal life to anybody who will turn from sin, self, and turn to the Savior. And that's repentance. We put our faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as we turn from sin and self. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. And go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And know this, God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.